Whole Hog Sports presents the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, the premier Arkansas hoops podcast, brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. With Whole Hog Sports basketball analyst Scotty Bordelon, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Nick Smith committed to the Razorbacks on Wednesday night. Smith, a guard from North Little Rock, has played at Sylvan Hills High School previously, is the first five-star basketball player to commit to Arkansas since Bobby Portis in the class of 2013. And with his commitment now, the Razorbacks basketball class in the class of 2022 has jumped to number three in the 247 composite ratings, trailing only Duke and Ohio State. Matt Jones joined by Scotty Bordelon of Whole Hog Sports and Dudley Dawson of Hogs Illustrated. Dudley, the magnitude of this type of commitment, I mean, how do you even put it into words? I know you wrote a long analysis of this and what it meant to the program after he committed, but to get a five-star basketball player, that's a really big deal, especially when you haven't had one in almost a decade.
Yeah, and first of all, I think, you know, he's going to be a great player on the court. I suspect he'll only be here a year, but it will be a year that Arkansas, I think, will see success. And also, I think the perception of him coming here is a big thing as well, nationally, locally, you know, state-wise, all that. I think seven of the last eight four stars that they've had in here, four or five stars now, you know, all came from Arkansas. So they're letting them know that it's okay to make a business decision to come to Arkansas, not only to stay in state and play for, you know, where you grew up, but a business decision. And I think it's just a big deal, even outside of what he brings to you on the court.
Dudley, I'm interested in getting your thoughts on this. I typically try to stick to covering who is already on the team and just kind of rely on you and Richard for recruiting. What do you think was like the turning point in Nick's recruitment? Because at least from where I was standing for a little while, it seemed like he was like a lock to go to Kentucky, but something changed. What do you think happened there?
Well, you know, I think during the process, I think Kentucky, Alabama, Texas were three of the teams that I would have bet that he would have ended up. He liked all the head coaches at those places. All of those places have had, you know, success here recently. And I think a month ago, I would have said, no, he's not coming here. In fact, I think I did on your podcast and radio and message boards and all that. But when he came here for his official visit, I think it was very important that it was the Texas weekend. He got to see, you know, the fervor and passion that Razorback fans have when their teams are doing well. I think he had a chance to really sit down and talk with Coach Musselman and his staff and basically lay out a route to the NBA. And this is how we can help get you there. We've all been there as far as a coaching staff. We can help you develop in the areas that you need to. We can help you with the lingo. We can help you with business interest. And I don't think we can, undersell the idea that in this day and age, when kids want to go straight to the NBA if they can, but or as quick as they can, if you can show them a path, if you can show them that people have been able to do it here, and Mason Jones, Isaiah Joe, and Moses Moody, those are three of the biggest reasons that I think Nick Smith made the trip up here. Well, he sees you can do it here from Arkansas. For so long, kids like Archie Goodwin, Malik Monk, and others thought you had to go to Kentucky or other places to get to the NBA to be a high draft pick. That apparently is not the deal anymore in terms of, Arkansas not being one of those blue bloods. I think they're back where they need to be. Certainly a lot of questions to be asked on answered on this year's team. But recruit-wise, they have placed themselves in a position to compete for anybody in the country.
Smith is ranked number six by ESPN in terms of just overall the number six player in the class of 2022. Scotty and I talked about this on the podcast yesterday. I don't think you can, and this goes back to your point, I don't think you can undersell the fact that you have Eric Musselman, who's a former NBA head coach, longtime professional basketball coach, and Clay Mosier and Keith Smart, who are, you know, they've got NBA assistant backgrounds. You've got Ronnie Brewer on the staff now, the former NBA player. There's a lot of professional ties on this staff, and I would have to think that's really becoming appealing to the high school recruits, just given how they're doing in recruiting right now.
Yeah, I think I read a stat that the basketball office put out that 62 years of either playing or coaching in the NBA or in professional basketball, the staff is littered with guys that have had, you know, as we talked about, have connections in the NBA. They're able to sell it. And one of the things about this staff, they're very analytical. They have a plan when they go into recruiting. Okay. Yes, we'd love to have you, but this is how we're going to use you if you come here. And I think that sells real well with kids. I know that Nick and others have mentioned that to me. You know, certainly the Arkansas has had a long history of basketball success. Coach Sutton, Coach Richardson, Coach Anderson, others, you know, that have had the job, but never has this been as a situation to where it is viewed by kids as a stepping stone to the NBA. And you can argue that you didn't like it when Kentucky was doing it. You didn't like it when Duke is doing it. But if you get a few one and dones in here, I think you suddenly change your mind on it when you're Razorback fans.
Dudley, just in your time kind of watching Nick kind of grow into this big five-star, really coveted prospect, like, What's kind of been your take on his game, and what are Arkansas fans going to like once he hits the floor?
Well, the interesting thing is I think the first time I saw him was at an AAU tournament when he was in the eighth grade going into the ninth grade. He was 5'8", very thin. You know, he had a nice little game, but he was playing above his age level in the AAU. And so you thought, this kid's got a chance, but never in my wildest dreams did I believe he would grow up to be you know, a 6'5 kid that was the top 10 in the country. But he has always, even in the eighth grade, played with a chip on his shoulder, or had a chip on his shoulder, that you're sleeping on him, that you do not respect him enough. You know, I think it comes across sometimes in his mannerisms and in his interviews, but that's allowed him to do this. He's had a great support group around him. His parents are great for him. His basketball coaches that he's had at Sylvan Hills, at North Little Rock, in AAU ball, Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum are two of his guys that he has got to hang out with because he played for Bradley Beal at AAU Elite. He talks about that a lot. He you know, asked him questions, and they're very cool with him answering. They'll also get on him when he needs to do something better. And I think that's big when NBA guys that are very successful, and hopefully we'll be playing with each other on the Boston Celtics next year after Bradley Beal is a free agent. You know, I think that it goes a long way in bolstering his confidence, but also showing him you cannot slack off a day. Not that I think his work ethic has ever been a problem, but there's just a different level with those guys. And yes, you know, I think many people would have loved for him to play with an AAU team here in the state of Arkansas. There's a lot of great ones, but this particular situation, Bradley Beal Elite got on him early, and it's worked out really well for him in terms of publicity, making his game better, and just putting him in a position to be the number six kid in the country.
You mentioned Malik Monk, Archie Goodwin, Kevon Allen's another one who left the state here in the past 5 or 6 years to go play at Florida. I can't remember a run, Dudley, of Arkansas recruiting Arkansas players as well as they have the last couple of years under Eric Musselman. I was listening to Barry Loney Sr. speak at a Hogs Illustrated Sports Club earlier this week, and he said, look at the best teams in Arkansas history. Now, he was referencing more football, but you could say the same thing about basketball here. And the best teams in Arkansas history have always had a strong leadership from Arkansas kids. The national championship team had Corliss Williamson. You had the triplets in the 70s. Last year's team, four freshman Arkansans on that roster. I know K.K. Robinson wasn't playing in the NCAA tournament, but a year ago, they get K.K. Robinson, they get Moses Moody, they get Jalen Williams and Devo Davis. And now this year in this class, there are two four-stars from Arkansas, Darian Ford and Joseph Pinion, who've committed to Arkansas. And then, of course, the five-star Nick Smith. Number one, I can't remember a run of Arkansas recruiting Arkansans like this, but it's also been, I think Musselman's been the beneficiary of what's really kind of been a unique 2-year run in talent in the state.
Yeah, and not only is it in basketball, but in baseball and football as well. This 2022 class and some classes around it, before it and after it, have been have had lots of talent. And Arkansas's head coaches have been able to mine that. Musselman was the right guy at the right time. His social media presence and his being so outgoing has played well with those kids. But I go back again to, I'll give Ron Crawford, Bill Ingram, Wes Swift, many of the other high school / AAU coaches in this state that have helped develop that talent. It is a big thing for you to develop your skills against the best players in the country. And in Arkansas, they certainly have talent, but it's not an every night thing where you're going out every night facing a Division I player. When you're able to do that during the spring and summer, you elevate your game, you see where you have deficiencies, you see that you're not all that, you're going to have to work harder to do that. So while there are some, you know, some things about AAU basketball that you can, criticize and all that, I think it has been a big key since the 80s in developing these kids and as they continue to play, just like 7-on-7 in with skill players in football has become a thing that's really helped them out. In Arkansas, as you said, with these coaches, has done a great job in mining this talent field and getting it to the University of Arkansas. And a commitment like Nick Smith is going to help with others that are in the 2023, 2024, and even 2025 classes that Arkansas has already offered.
Dudley, do you think we can put this narrative that people have that Eric can't recruit the high school kids? I mean, can we finally put that narrative to bed? I mean, he's on a pretty impressive run the last couple of years.
You know, if we can't, then whoever's saying that just wants to be pissed off about something. I mean, you know, I get it. When he came here, he was known as a graduate transfer guy, and he's continued to do that. And that is another reason that Arkansas was successful last year, reason they'll be successful this year, no doubt a reason they'll be successful in the future, is because he has perfected that game as well. We listen to the transfers that they have this year. They all talked about perfect situations for them and all that. But yes, I think whether it be on our message boards, radios, whatever, those folks who believe he can't or didn't want to recruit high school, I think definitely have to change their narrative and change their mind right now. They're riding high. They certainly would like to add Jordan Walsh, Anthony Black. There's a few others out there. I'm sure that if Kalel Ware, who I saw last night standing behind Nick Smith, wanted to switch his commitment from Oregon to Arkansas, they would find a way to make that happen. I think he's pretty solid out there, though. But, yes, it is a wealth of talent here right now. And everybody who, you know, probably on Hogs Illustrated knows how close a friend I was with Mike Anderson. But this has been the right move, and it has certainly worked out well.
One other thing, I would like to find a place where I can place a futures bet on North Little Rock boys basketball to win a state championship this year. That's it. They're loaded.
Yeah, and it's not only those two. I went to practice last Thursday, and they've got a lot of other nice talent there, kids that have the prospects of being Division I guys. I did an interview with Johnny Rice, and I'll have it on our site in the next few days. They are going to be playing in a ton of national events, also going to be playing in Bentonville and some other areas around here. And Jordan Walsh, by the way, is going to be playing in Bentonville as well. So the schedule is really good. And Johnny Rice is the head coach at North Little Rock. You know, basically said, you know, when Nick made that transfer, everybody was calling, hey, are you free on this date? We'd like to have you in our event. And I think it's 7 or 8 different events that they're going to have outside of their tough conference schedule that they're going to play in nationally. So not only is this going to give North Little Rock publicity every time they're on TV or every time there's a story written, it's going to say Arkansas commit Nick Smith, which again, I would just like to point out that I wouldn't give you a nickel for that, you know, a month or two ago, but they got it turned around and got it done, and you have to give them credit.
I'm glad you mentioned Kalel Ware. They're not getting every player from in-state, but they're getting the majority of them. I think in basketball, you either get old or you get young, and that's how you get good in basketball. You either keep guys around for a while, you know, like Wisconsin has done, you know, a lot of times through the years, or you have these, you know, blue chip type teams, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, go on and on. And now Arkansas, they've they've gotten old a couple of years with their graduate transfers. And now in these next couple of classes, they've got a chance to have a younger team full of talent. I don't think you're ever going to see in college basketball again a team like Arkansas in 94 that kind of had that perfect mix of mid-year players where they had two sophomores and three juniors starting. The Basketball Podcast of Mid-America is brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Visit them online at SteveLandersToyotaNWA.com.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
We mentioned that Arkansas started basketball practice earlier this week. You get to start practice 6 weeks before your first game. The Razorbacks are scheduled to open the season November 9th against Mercer at Bud Walton Arena. It's likely that Arkansas will play an exhibition game at some point before that, but they have not finalized any exhibition games. I did see where the women are going to play Arkansas Fort Smith in an exhibition game, but the men have not finalized an exhibition game yet. Arkansas just released its schedule a couple of weeks ago. It's an interesting schedule because it doesn't have any road games in the non-conference. There are a lot of neutral site games. They'll play Kansas State at the Hall of Fame Classic in Kansas City. They'll play either Cincinnati or Illinois there the next day. They're also going to go to Tulsa and play Oklahoma in December. And they'll play, it's technically a neutral site game, but it's in North Little Rock at Simmons Bank Arena. They'll play Hofstra there on December the 18th. They don't play their first road game until December the 29th, and that's their SEC opener at Mississippi State. Scotty, as you look at this schedule, what are some of the games that jump out to you? Let's start with the non-conference season.
Yeah, I think for me, it's obviously the Hall of Fame Classic in Kansas City. You know, Kansas State in the past has been a pretty good program. You know, they've kind of fallen on some hard times recently. You know, the talent on their roster from top to bottom is not what it used to be, but I don't expect, you know, that program to stay down for too awful long. And that's the first game Arkansas will play in Kansas City on November 22nd. And then I think everybody, even though you still got it, you got to beat Kansas State first to get to a potential game with Illinois, but that's the one I think everybody's got circled, right? Like Illinois was the number one team in college basketball last year for a good stretch of the season. You know, Ayo Dosunmu was one of my favorite players to watch. And, you know, he's in the NBA now, but they brought back their best player, Kofi Coburn. And, you know, on the football side of things, we talk about how John Ridgeway is just kind of, he's 6'6" and 3 1/4", like Sam Pittman likes to say. Kofi Coburn would make John Ridgeway look tiny. I mean, Coburn, he's like 7'1". And he's, you know, 280, 285. He's one of the more physically imposing players, you know, college basketball has to offer. He was the number one pick and roll finisher in the country last year. And I think he led the country in dunks too. So he's going to be a matchup problem, but that's going to be a game that, you know, everybody's looking forward to. You know, even though they did lose Dosunmu, they've got, you know, kind of a wealth of guard talent coming back. And I think a sneaky good game before Arkansas goes to Kansas City is Northern Iowa. That's kind of a mid-major program that has, you know, fairly often, you know, you'll kind of look up, you know, during the NCAA tournament and they'll be there. They'll be given, you know, a high major team some problems. Just a pretty good, well-rounded program. And then the Oklahoma game, obviously, that's pretty big. I think these neutral site games, you know, you can kind of hit on the schedule a little bit if you don't like it by saying they don't have a true road game, but I think these neutral site games, Eric Musselman put these together, you know, with the NCAA tournament in mind. You know, you got to learn how to play together and you got to learn how to play together on a neutral floor to have postseason success. And I think they put this schedule together kind of with that kind of at the forefront.
Yeah, and I do think that from what I understand, they did try to get a couple of road games. It didn't work out there. Also, it is important, although it's maybe not as important as it was at this time last year, to have home games and to put money in the coffers needs to be replenished from what they lost last year when they could only have 4,000 folks there. So, you know, it's a balance that they walk there. I think, as you said, getting the neutral games will be good, just like I think it was good for Arkansas's football team to play in the Southwest Classic. And I'm not talking about 2024, 2025. I think it was good this year as they go into Georgia from having played somewhat of a game where people were rooting against them. And so I think that'll be the same case with the neutral side basketball games. The three that you mentioned that stand out, I'm really excited about seeing them play. And of course, I know you and I are probably saving pennies now for the appearance in Maui next year.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I didn't even mention West Virginia is coming to Bud Walton and Gabe Osaboyan's coming back. And so it's going to be interesting to see the reception that he gets. Remember, he was, Eric Musselman dismissed him. A lot of people think that was, one of Mike Anderson's kind of final moves, after he found himself in a little bit of hot water. But that was Eric Musselman. Eric Musselman dismissed Gabe, and now he's coming back. And Gabe was, he was a offensively challenged player when he was here, but he did not lack for defensive potential. And I think you're seeing that at West Virginia. He gets on the floor and he's probably charged with not shooting at all. Just hit the glass and give, whoever you're guarding fits defensively. And Arkansas for the first time is going to be on the other side of that. And it's going to be interesting to watch.
I'll always remember watching him play when he was in high school, Gabe, and him getting an offer from Arkansas, being really excited about it and it working out. But he decided to make his commitment one night at about 11 p.m. And if any of you high school recruits out there, football, basketball, or listening and trying to plan your upcoming commitment ceremony, before 11 is a good time to do it. Before 7 is a good time. If you want to do it in the afternoon, we're down with that. We'll cover it either way. But, I'm just saying.
Scotty, one of the areas where Eric Musselman and Anthony Ruta, who is his director of operations, were credited last year, were in finding the non-conference teams that didn't have a lot of name appeal, like an ORU, but who ended up, performing really well in their conference and that helping Arkansas's NCAA tournament resume. Who are some of those teams that you think this year, you mentioned Northern Iowa, I look at a team like Penn, who's typically a pretty good team in the Ivy League. Who are some of those teams that you look at this year that may not have the name appeal, but may end up looking pretty good come March?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you can probably start with the season opener. Mercer last year went 18-11. They haven't made the NCAA tournament since 2014, their last year in the A-Sun, but they're bringing a couple of their top scorers back from last year. One kid that averaged 13 a game and a forward named Felipe Haas that averaged 12-8. And he, he's a three-point threat too. Just looking at the other teams in Arkansas' schedule, Northern Iowa obviously stands out, like you said. Penn is pretty solid traditionally, I think. And then Charlotte's kind of interesting. And then Hofstra in North Little Rock. I'd have to pull up some of the stories that I wrote on them when we found out about those games to give more detail, which you can find those at wholehogsports.com. But I think we're going to find out that, this staff, they have a formula that they follow to a T. And, Eric Musselman, every time he's asked about the schedule, just gives Anthony Ruta props for, just the depth that he goes to find, schools and programs that, Arkansas can play that will turn out to be, maybe resume boosters, by the time Selection Sunday rolls around. I think Charlotte's a decent option. Obviously, Northern Iowa, Mercer's not going to be a rollover game, right off the bat. Arkansas is going to have to come ready to play. And then I think Hofstra is kind of a really low-key game, I think, to keep an eye on, because if I'm not mistaken, that game's in North Little Rock. So Arkansas always seems like they get tested there.
Yeah, it's always an interesting game when they play in North Little Rock. Always a great crowd, but it seems like their games typically go down to the wire there. Hofstra coach.
The game that Arkansas played against Valpo in North Little Rock a couple of years ago was probably top three or top five environments that I've watched a game in, covering Arkansas. That crowd, they packed that building out and Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe, you know, gave him a good show. And then Adriel Bailey had the best block I've ever seen in person, you know, to kind of cap that game. That's the crowds down there. They come out and they show out. That'll be a fun atmosphere.
I think that was the game where Arkansas came back from a double digit deficit in like the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game. Hofstra, coached by the way, by Speedy Claxton, the former NBA guard who played for Eric Musselman at Golden State. Speaking of Little Rock, Dudley, interesting game in December, December the 4th, UALR comes to Fayetteville. They played here in an exhibition game when they named the court after Nolan Richardson, but it'll be the first time that Darryl Walker, the Razorback All-America guard from the 1980s, is going to bring a team here to Fayetteville. It'll be the first time that Arkansas and UALR will play in a game that actually counts.
Yeah, Darryl, obviously one of my best friends over the years. I was a manager when he was a star basketball player at the university. I like to consider myself. I was Uber for him back then, before Uber was a thing. But his teams will always play hard. It will be interesting. Kamani Johnson was obviously one of his players that's now at Arkansas, one of the transfers that came in. And you know, you're going to have UCA and Little Rock, although they're always going to be UALR to me, back-to-back games there. And, you know those two teams will play lights out, and you better be ready for those games as well. I also like Gardner Webb. I followed them a little bit last year. There was one game, I think, where they had a 130 to 116 game. So they're not going to come in and shy away. So you can pinpoint some games and you can be mad that you're not playing away. But as you said, Anthony Ruta, who we found out through these videos like charcuterie boards, also has done a real good job at getting them a schedule that will help them build as they go into Southeastern Conference play. And as we all know, you know, that's the key there, get into Southeastern Conference play, be ready to go then, because there's going to be some great environments back again in the SEC now that COVID protocol and guidelines have been let loose a little bit. You'll have these crowds you'll have to face on the road.
Ruta will tell you about charcuterie boards and pizzas and steaks and just about anything you want if you follow him on Instagram. He's as good as a food follow as he is for a basketball follow. One more, Scotty. West Virginia, we mentioned that game. That's part of a really good stretch of Saturday games in Bud Walton Arena, beginning with January 22nd. They play Texas A&M, then they play West Virginia, Mississippi State. They go on the road the next Saturday. Then they have back-to-back Saturdays at Bud Walton with Tennessee and Kentucky. That's a really great stretch where people are going to be able to come in and fill up the arena for those games.
Yeah, that's an awesome stretch of games if you're a fan. And when the schedule came out, that was honestly the first thing I looked for. Like, who are Arkansas's Saturday home games? West Virginia kind of kicks that stretch off a little bit, but you do get Texas A&M a couple weeks before. Arkansas fans are obviously going to be much more fired up for that West Virginia game and that interconference challenge game. But, you know, some of the better teams in this league are going to be coming into your building. And if you're an Arkansas fan, that's a chance for you to show out and, you know, give Arkansas a true home court advantage. And I don't have any doubt that they will, because this team's pretty talented, and they gave fans plenty of reason, you know, last year to come out and be loud. But Mississippi State and Tennessee and Kentucky, those are three consecutive Saturday home games. That's going to be awesome. If you're a fan that loves the basketball atmosphere in Bud, or if you're like us and you like being in those atmospheres and covering those games, it doesn't get a whole lot better than that. And it almost kind of comes to ahead with Kentucky coming in on February 26th. That's your last Saturday home game, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
And one thing about that Little Rock game, it'll be on Saturday, December 4th. That'll be the first weekend that Arkansas's football team will be bringing in official recruits, and that'll be an atmosphere, I'm sure, that they will be able to show off. And also January 22nd, it is my guess that Arkansas's recruiting will be wrapped up by then, and every great recruit they have in the 2023 class will be invited to the game with West Virginia. and that will be another atmosphere that the football recruiting will be able to take advantage of, the excitement for basketball and the excitement, you know, that they probably will have going as well. It kind of works hand in hand, and we've seen that with these three coaches showing up last Saturday on the sidelines, and all along with several other coaches here at the university being able to just recruit and do have success right now.
Tucked in there is a Tuesday, February 8th game against Auburn. Like we said, TV hasn't been announced, but you got to believe that one's going to be on ESPN primetime on that Tuesday night whenever TV is announced. For more, go to wholehogsports.com. We've got much more on Nick Smith's commitment to the Razorbacks, including Studley's analysis of what it means for the program. Richard Davenport also spoke to Nick Smith in Little Rock last night. We'll be back with another basketball podcast of Mid-America in October. For Scotty Bordelon and Dudley Dawson, I'm Matt Jones. Thanks for joining us.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.